WMNF.com.
WMNF's Tropical Heat Wave is back at the Cuban Club in Ybor on Saturday, May 4th. You'll see an eclectic mix of national and local bands, like The Record Company.
I got this life to fix, threw it all out in a ditch, broke it down when I was sick, built it back up brick by brick.
We have a few things up our sleeves too, like local food and art vendors, refillable water bottle stations for a greener experience, and cool swag, all while celebrating with your WMNF community. Don't miss WMNF's Tropical Heat Wave, May 4th at the Cuban Club in Ybor. See the full lineup and buy tickets at tropicalheatwave.org.
Hi, this is Duncan Strauss, host of Talking Animals, now airing at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays. The time slot is new, but Talking Animals is in its 19th year and remains a show about animals and animal issues, chiefly revolving around a long-form interview with an important figure in the animal world. Guests have ranged from Jane Goodall to Emmylou Harris to Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. The program also features music, comedy, news, and a quick quiz, Name That Animal Tune. That's Talking Animals every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WMNF.
My name's Beverly. I'm sitting in for Duncan today, and that was just a little reminder that he's normally here from 11 to noon on Wednesdays. I'll be sitting in. I'm very excited to tell you I've got a pre-recorded interview with Rick Yoakum, the executive director of the Manatee County Humane Society. They have a big event coming up. It's called Paws in Motion. It'll be held in Bradenton this Saturday. And he'll talk to you all about it. First, we've got a little bit of a comedy we're going to hear about some Jeff Foxworthy on WMNF.
Aaron, pretty big way to that. Should be most of you. Anybody else's dad make weird noises? My dad, honestly, when he's in the bathroom, it sounds like Songs of the Humpback Whale. Are you okay, Dad? We got Greenpeace at the front door. Knock it off. And my dad, he can tell some filthy jokes, too. Make the dog gag jokes, yeah? My dad can tell jokes in a truck stop. Truckers are going, hey, there's mechanics in here. You want to watch your mouth? And my mom, she's a sweetheart of a lady. She just comes up with some goofy-ass questions. Growing up, this was one of her favorite ones. Did I raise you in a barn? I'd go, no. No. My brother would start laughing. She'd go, what's so funny? He'd say, nothing. Remember when your mom would say this one? Shut the door. I'm not going to heat up the neighborhood. Not in that bathrobe, you're not. I didn't know she could throw a waffle iron that far.
Protect from the postman. She'll let the kids run.
brighter and curl up beside her. She digs you the most, man.
Jimmy Catlett, one of Duncan's featured guests from a couple of years ago for Bark and Roll Over, a fundraiser for animal charities. Right now we're listening to a little bit of Dirt Wire. This name of the song is Mustang, a little instrumental. Well, up next, we're going to hear a full-length interview with Rick Yoakum, the executive director of the Manatee County Humane Society. We'll talk to Rick. It's been pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any calls, but if you have questions or information that you want to send to the studio, you can text to... Let me see. You can text to 813-433-0885 or email to dj@wmnf. We've got a bit more information after the interview about the big event the SPCA of Tampa Bay is having this coming up in May. Excuse me, coming up in April. And a big exhibit at the James Museum, the James Museum of Western and Wildlife Art in downtown St. Pete. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. Right now, let's listen to a pre-recorded interview with Rick Yoakum of the Manatee County Humane Society. Executive Director of the Humane Society of Manatee County, and you've got a big event coming up this weekend.
We do. It's our 17th annual Paws in Motion Walkathon and Festival. It's our largest fundraiser of the year, taking place once again on the Bradenton Riverwalk.
That's a little bit about yourself and how long you've been involved with the Humane Society.
Okay, so I actually accepted this job 8 years ago this month, March 16th. It was a long-term goal of my wife and I to relocate down to Florida. We had a home down here for several years prior to my accepting this job. And when this job opportunity came up, I looked into it and thought, it's exactly what I wanted to do to follow my passion. So we packed up and here we are. Yeah, I was a general sales and marketing manager for 34 years for a family-owned business. Mm-hmm. I was also a humane law enforcement officer in the state of New Jersey for about 14 years. And I was also, at the same time, an elected official for 23 and a half years. I was the council president of my hometown, Jefferson Township, up in New Jersey. But this was following my passion to come here and do this.
That actually sounds like almost the perfect background to have the public service and the navigation of working the public perception and fundraising and things like that. I would think that goes pretty hand in hand.
Yeah, and you know, I also am a big believer in nonprofits. That's our tax status. That's not our business plan. Right. We operate this organization like a business, and it's worked out remarkably well for the animals. The Humane Society of Manatee County has actually been in existence for 52 years. Started back in the early 1970s. They started out with one building on 14th Street in downtown Bradenton, which is Tamiami Trail. And then the organization grew. It opened up a veterinary clinic in a old Salvation Army building next to the shelter building. And that's located at 2415 14th Street West in Bradenton, downtown Bradenton. They also purchased a two-story building, which is currently the animal shelter. And most recently, we purchased two buildings and a half acre of property next to our veterinary clinic. And that serves as our administrative offices. And there's a second building that the board and I are planning on what the future holds for that, what the need will be. And that'll be over the next several years that determination will be made. So the organization has grown substantially over the last 8 years.
So you say you're kind of developing to see what the community needs to kind of follow the lead of the service that you're providing to go in a certain direction with that?
Yeah, correct. And, you know, that's how decisions are made in expanding programming in our veterinary clinic. We make sure that we get a good read on what the need is in the community. Because, you know, we're able to provide these services at a much reduced cost because of the support donations and things that we receive on top of the clinic revenue. And, you know, an example of that is we doubled our capacity to do dentals. We do dentals for dogs and cats, mostly dogs, about 95%. And dental now represents 20%. Of our service revenue in the veterinary clinic. So we've actually doubled our capacity. The need was there. And there are several other programs that we moved into because of community need. A lot of financially challenged families only have us as an option when it comes to some of the more expensive services.
Particularly, I would say in the last maybe 2 years, have you seen an uptick in the need? For the families and also to provide homes or rehoming pets? Is that?
Yeah. The single biggest issue with keeping animals with their human family is really housing, animal friendly housing. That's a big issue. I talk often about that, and I attend any meetings where that's going to be a discussion for affordable housing and for animal-friendly housing in our community. It's a big issue for sure. And the number of financially challenged residents in our community continues to grow, and the need is there. And I'm very blessed because my board of directors made it very clear to me that if we can increase revenue, they want to take that increased revenue and put it right back into providing services for those people who have difficulty financially paying for the care of their animals. And that includes a lot of senior citizens. You know, that's a big part of our community, and it's important to us.
So that's really interesting to me. Do you actually attend county commission meetings and city board meetings with your advocacy ideas? And
most of what I do is in public speaking, is attending service organizations like the Kiwanis Chamber of Commerce. We're members of the Chamber of Commerce of Manatee County. We're also the Hispanic Chamber. We're a member of the Anna Maria Island Chamber. We're a member of, and I also serve on a committee with the Lakewood Ranch Business Alliance, the Community Engagement Committee. And I will attend, also Tiger Bay meetings. I attend on a regular basis, and it allows me to get face to face and talk about the needs of the animals in our community with that base of people.
Where do the animals that come to that end up in the Humane Society for the most
part? Okay, so our animal intake comes from several different areas. One would be we do take in strays if needed. We'll also take surrenders from families who are having difficulty for whatever the reason may be in providing care for an animal. We will take those animals in and rehome them. We also, and this is what we love to do, is go to the county shelters, not just Manatee County, but other surrounding counties as well in our vicinity. I don't go across the state or across state lines to bring animals in. We'll go to overcrowded county facilities and we'll take in maybe 6 or 8 animals each trip we make there. And we always make sure that we always try to take a senior dog, maybe a heartworm positive dog, maybe a dog that has some medical challenges. We're not in the puppy business. The only puppies that we ever have are if a county shelter is overwhelmed and needs a place to send a pregnant mom or a mom who's just had puppies, we will take those in. And animal cruelty case, pregnant dogs, we will also take in and care for. We work with the law enforcement agencies on watching over those animals while the case is in court.
That's very heartening for me to hear that you work with the animal control services, I guess, in the region, because that's that job, I would think, is so overwhelming for those people to have a better place to send the animals to, with maybe even a greater chance of being adopted. Just kind of gives me a little lift in my spirit. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Rick Yoakum, the executive director of the Manatee County Humane Society. My name is Beverly. I'm sitting in for Duncan today, and we'll be on air until noon, and then Slice of Life will be taking over. Let's continue with the interview. Delightful person with lots of information. They've really got it going on at the Manatee County Humane Society. Do you provide any kind of emergency medical care? I mean, if somebody just walked in off the street with a dog in distress or a pet in distress, is that something that you're able to provide for?
So the answer to that is very simple. We provide wellness services for the most part, which, you know, vaccines and wellness checks and exams and things like that. But if someone walks in our facility with, as an example, a dog's been hit by a car, and they walk in the front door with that dog, we will immediately stabilize that animal, assess the animal, and then get them where they need to go to an emergency hospital in our vicinity. We have a collaborative working arrangement with just about every animal welfare organization in Manatee and Sarasota County. That's something, that type of collaboration, by the way, is not something that exists around the country anywhere near the level that it takes place here. We have an amazing group of animal welfare organizations, including Animal Control, the county, city of Bradenton, and it really the beneficiary of that, it's definitely the animals.
That's incredible, because I know, I mean, I've actually seen it happen in person. Somebody with an animal in distress, it just, they might not even know what to do or where to go with them. So I'm really pleased to hear you speak about that. You talked or mentioned heartworms. Mm-hmm. And that's a particular passion of mine. That is one of the treatments that you are alerting people that you have. And very briefly, I picked up a dog about 10 years ago, about two blocks from WMNF. And I took him to a walking clinic for animals just to get it, because he was in pretty bad shape. But I picked him up off the street. They told me that he had a heavy load of heartworms and there wasn't anything they could do at that clinic for him. Long story short, he went through treatment. It was very expensive. And yes. He probably lived about another 5 years with us and was a happy, wonderful animal. But the heartworms definitely had already done their damage. So I thought maybe after seeing that on your website, you might talk a little bit about your treatment plan at the Manatee County Humane Society. And I mean, not your treatment plan, but just the services that you offer.
Absolutely. And, you know, Beverly, that is a great example of one of the community needs that we have tried to meet. There are a lot of parts of our heartworm prevention and heartworm treatment program. One of the things that makes us stand out, first of all, we are relatively affordable compared to a lot of independent clinics. Heartworm treatment and heartworm prevention is all based on the size of the dog. So treatment has been over a 4 or 5 month time period. We also made a decision several years ago to offer a payment plan for people. So unlike many businesses where you need to pay up front when you walk in the door, you don't make your payments until you receive those treatments over those 4 or 5 month time period, allowing people to spread out the cost and make it affordable for them, because we do realize that it's an expensive treatment. The medications involved, the emeticide injections are very costly. That's the injection that actually kills the heartworm. Right. But then there's also quite a few other parts of the program. The dog needs to be on an antibiotic for 60 days prior to treatment. It's got to be on prevention for 2 months prior to the treatment starting. There's a whole process that we go through that we walk people through with us, and it's worked out extremely well.
Yeah, I think the lesson to learn from my experience and what you're talking about is prevention's the way to go. But yes. I would encourage listeners and people that may take in an animal that already has heartworms that there is an option. I've honestly felt that my guy may have been put down. He was so ill. But again, he was treated and he lived another 5+ years. The veterinarian told me that unfortunately the heartworms had done their damage and his life would be shortened because of that. But again, he lived another 5 years and I was happy to have spent a whole lot of money to keep him with us. But just from my personal experience, it was kind of worth it.
So that is a great story. And I thank you, Beverly, for stepping up for that dog, because, you know, here in the state of Florida, heartworm is pretty prevalent because of the climate here where mosquitoes are year round. And that's how heartworm is spread, is through the bite of a mosquito. Mm-hmm. That's how dogs get it. And we all know that there's an issue here with mosquitoes. We tell people starting at 2 months old, a dog should start going on prevention for heartworm and get tested every year. If you miss a dose of prevention, then you probably should get tested twice a year, the dog. And here at the Humane Society of Manatee County, the tests you're checking out, because we do those right here in-house. If a dog comes back positive for heartworm, and the owners decide to come to us for treatment, we also send out a blood sample to an outside lab just to verify our results, because it is an expensive and it is a difficult process to go through for the animal. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. And particularly if your animal is spending a lot of time outside, or a stray or an uncared for animal, it's a horrendous thing to have to overcome, but it's doable. And I was very pleased to see that you're offering the treatment for that. Can I ask you, I should have talked about this earlier. Do you have any residential requirements for your services? Does somebody need to be a resident of Manatee County?
No. As a matter of fact, I talk about this often because I travel throughout Manatee and Sarasota County frequently. And when people ask me about, you know, the county lines, other than a metal sign sticking in the ground, there's really no difference from the people that live just on the other side of that sign or on this side. So, no, there are no residency requirements at all, open to the general public for sure.
As far as adopting and fosters, what can you tell us your needs are right now for well, let's go to fosters first. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you probably have a need for fosters, but any particular animal come to mind, or particular direction you want to go with encouraging people to foster?
And this is what I tell people who want to talk about foster. What I tell people is go to several different organizations and talk to them about fostering. Find out what their foster program is, how it works, what the rules are, if you will, and pick someone that you're comfortable with and following their procedures and guidelines. We could not do what we do without fosters. Fosters and volunteers are incredibly important parts of animal welfare. And that is why we strive to make sure that we build and keep strong relationships with both fosters and volunteers, because again, we couldn't do what we do without these folks. Sometimes someone wants a small dog. Sometimes someone wants a mom with puppies to foster. Some people have it in their heart that they want to do everything they can for pit and pit mix dogs. We try to make sure that we fulfill those people's wishes. If someone wants a tiny, quiet dog to foster, we're not going to send them a 110-pound mastiff and tell them, oh, here's what you got. So it's a really important thing to listen to how people want to help. And then, go along with that. And, again, fosters are incredibly important to all animal welfare organizations.
I would say that attitude really lends itself to repeat business.
Yes.
And I love to mention, or at least give the people I'm interviewing an opportunity to talk about Bright Futures, which is the program for high school students to get volunteer time. Do you have a Bright Futures program, or are you looking to get high school students to involved in your programs?
Absolutely, 100%. Our volunteer and event coordinator, her name is Samantha Harris. That was who you first contacted with us. Samantha has worked extremely hard on developing programs for young volunteers. On my end, I accept every invitation from every local high school for career day. As a matter of fact, I'll be in Palmetto High School this Thursday at their career day from 8:30 in the morning to 10:30 in the morning, talking to students. I'm going to say about 12 to 15 career days in our local schools, including New College, to talk to students about volunteer opportunities, but also to talk to students about a career in animal welfare organization or another local nonprofit organization, because we're always looking for bright students to come to us to start their career as well, not just volunteer.
That's terrific. And just for folks listening that have a high school student, particularly in Manatee County, there are so many options to for your child to earn Bright Futures credit. But I encourage you to talk to Rick or to Samantha and get them started in that path.
Yeah, we also have some volunteer opportunities that don't require the person to come to our facility, because there are animal loving people that are afraid to visit a shelter because they know they're going to fall in love with a cat or a dog, and they're going to end up taking it home.
So they just
don't want to come. Samantha has worked very hard on creating off-site volunteer opportunities for people for whatever their reason is. Maybe it's a lack of transportation. Maybe it's a fear that they're going to fall in love with six animals and take them home, whatever the reason is. So we do have those programs. I'm also right now working with CareerSource and the Florida Department of Education. We're about maybe 70% through the process of being able to get an apprenticeship program approved by the Department of Education in the state of Florida. That would allow us then to create this internal internship program. Someone comes to us, a student comes to us, they work for us for 1 year. And at the end of that year, after they successfully pass the test at the end, they will have a certification as an assistant veterinary technician, good anywhere in the United States. And we're really excited about this.
That is fantastic. I think that would be a show unto itself. As far as that is something that you're working towards, or it's.
We met with CareerSource over the last, 4 months. And also now a representative with the Florida Department of Education, who we just met with last week. And we're putting the final touches. We already have an internship program in-house, but now we're looking to get it approved by the Florida Department of Education. And this way, this certification will be national for a student after they complete that 1 year internship, really important at no cost to the student.
Hands-on learning, like an old-fashioned apprenticeship.
Correct. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And there are different levels and steps of competency that someone needs to achieve going through it. And then once they finish it, they take that test, and that test gets them their certification. And again, that student can have no experience whatsoever. Come to us, get into this program, and hopefully stay with us. Mm-hmm. But if they choose to leave or move, the certification goes with them.
Keep WMNF, Keep Talking Animals posted on how that progresses.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Rick Yocum, the executive director of the Humane Society of Manatee County. For more information, you can go to Humane Manatee.
Tell us about your spay-neuter program.
All right. So spay-neuter is also one of our priorities as part of our mission of what we do and what we provide. So every year we have about 13,000 animals that come through our veterinary clinic as patients. 6,000 of those are spay-neuter patients. And we have usually funding from different foundations. So people, about, 33-35% of the spay-neuter surgeries that we do are at no cost to the pet owners. Some making sure that we help control the population of unwanted animals in the community is a huge responsibility of ours. And then on top of that, what people refer to TNR, most commonly referred to as feral cats, the word feral meaning wild. And quite honestly, I call them community cats because they're not all wild. And even a kitten born to an animal that lives, outside behind a strip mall in a trailer park or wherever, they're not born wild. So that's why I call them community cats. And, it's a program that's near and dear. I have a staff member who is our TNR coordinator. She does all of the communicating with the trappers. And it's a good program, and it certainly controls the population. People sometimes don't know, in Manatee County, there are over 200,000 community cats living not in a home, but outside. And another part of our program that we take very seriously, last year, of all those community cats that came in for spay neuter services and rabies vaccines at the same time, by the way, about 10% of those cats that came through in that program entered into our adoption program and are now living in homes because they weren't wild.
Right. Has the ability to trap several animals or maybe even half a dozen animals at one time, is that something that you can handle there?
Absolutely, 100%. We have specific days, drop-off days and surgery days for TNR cats. It happens twice a month. Mm-hmm. And on those days, we normally do anywhere between 35 and 60 spay-neuter surgeries for those cats. We have a structure on the back of our veterinary clinic. It's called the Community Cat Porch. It's a secure area. And that's where the cats are dropped off in the traps. And after surgery, that's where the cats are picked up. And some of these people that we're dealing with are organizations that do TNR, but many are simply property owners, homeowners, cat lovers who are doing this out of the goodness of their heart. And I will say the majority of our TNR surgeries, we get some funding from the county, Manatee County, to do this. And we also get donations from people to support the TNR program.
Yeah, this would be a great point, a great time to mention your website and where people can find out detailed information on the things that you've talked about, particularly the TNR program.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that about 5 years ago, I spent several months rewriting our website. So I made sure that our website, which is www.humanemanatee.org, when you go there, you're not going to leave with more questions than you went with. If you want to know what the schedule is for something, it'll be there. If you want to know what the cost is, it'll be there. If you want to know exactly what medications are used for what procedures, it's there and you'll be able to read about it. So when you go on our website, you will find the answer to what you're looking for.
That's great. And please give your phone number out as well. I think it's really important to have a website that answers questions so you're not inundating a staff member or
yes.
A receptionist with questions that can be easily found on the website. But please give the phone number as well if somebody wanted more information.
So our main phone number for Humane Society Manatee County is 941-747-8808. So someone told me many years ago during an interview, you always have to say a phone number at least twice. So here you go. 941-747-8808. And again, the website is an awesome way to contact us, and you will get a response back. We also, you can email info@humanemanatee.org, and you will get a response back that's monitored 24/7. You'll get a response back. And another program, and I know you didn't ask this, but I'm going to tell you, another program that I started recently is I personally answer every single Google review that we receive, usually within 2 to 4 hours. And it doesn't matter if it's a 5-star review, which most of them are, or a 1-star, which happens occasionally. Everybody gets a personal response from me. And if I need to follow up with that person, I reach out to them, give them my email, give them my cell phone number, and that's how we resolve any issue that anybody didn't have a good experience with. And I think that's really important because people are so passionate about their animals, just like their kids. And that's one of the things that I've always understood. Even if someone is yelling at me, I don't ever yell back because I get it. That's their kid. That's their pet.
Yeah.
It's emotional. Passion. So,
well, I know that Paws in Motion information is located on your website, so I would direct people there. But tell us really quickly, we have about 3 minutes left, on what's going to be happening this coming Saturday. I believe that's the 16th.
It is March 16th, and it's going to be, again, returning to the Bradenton Riverwalk at Rossi Park. It's at 452 3rd Avenue West. The gates open. There aren't really any gates, by the way, but the gates open at 8 a.m. We'll have a vendor village set up, which also opens up at 8 a.m. We have over 35 vendors. There'll be some food trucks there. There'll be a DJ. We've got some awesome prizes, raffle prizes from the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team, from Bayside Pet Resort, from Triumph. Suncoast Pet Magazine is giving someone an opportunity to have their pet featured on the front of that magazine and also receive a canvas print of that cover, and also four tickets to any 2024 Rays baseball game, and also an opportunity for a tailgate at Sarasota Polo Club for up to eight people. You know, we have Vendor Village. The walk starts at 9, and I know I'm talking fast, but I want to get as much of this
pen
in. There will be a peanut butter eating contest, not for people, but for the dogs. There'll be a costume contest at 11 a.m., and we have a long list of tremendous sponsors, many of them local businesses, Acme Termite, Rescue Prints, Well-Groomed Pets of Bradenton, Bayside Pet Resort, Kirky Roofing, NTech, and the list goes on and on and on of returning sponsors like Meadows Dental, and this year, Companion Veterinary and Urgent Care. They're always a sponsor, and we love their support. And it's just a great group of vendors that have really stepped up to help us make this a great one-mile walk along the Manatee River.
And will there be adoptables or information on how a person visiting can foster?
Yes, we will have a group of our shelter staff and volunteers there with adoptable animals. And it's really important for us between now and the first week of April to find as many of these animals' homes as we can, because we're going to be renovating our animal shelter where our dogs are kept, and the chain link kennels from 1971 are going to be removed, and we're having all new plexiglass and fiberglass kennels put into our shelter, courtesy of a very, very generous bequest from someone who was a big supporter of the Humane Society and the animals.
Thank you, Rick Yoakum, executive director of the Humane Society of Manatee County. Thank you for...
Again, thank you, Rick, for taking your time to give WMNF a great interview. Imperfect audio, but I do think the information was worth listening to. The Humane Society of Manatee County has a great website. I'll repeat that information. I kind of stepped on myself earlier. The humanemanatee.org. humanemanatee.org. Rick Yoakum will be speaking at Palmetto High School this Thursday as well. So if you have a student in the area, give them a heads up. I don't know if that's an optional thing or if they're going to round up everybody and send them to the gym to listen to Rick, but I would like to be there. Humane Society also offers a sleepover program. If you want to try out a potential pet, and to see if they're a good fit, you can take them for a test drive. And that is all on the Manatee County Humane Society. One more time, humanemanatee.org. We're going to hear a little bit of music and some more information. This is going out to all those who rescue the kitty cats.
My tail in the air.
Stray cat strut, I'm a
sleaze cat.
can.
We just heard from Brian Stetzer and the Stray Cats. I wanted to let you know a little bit of information. The James Museum of Western and Wildlife Art has an exhibit, a special exhibit going on called Survival of the Fittest. 45 masterworks by German-American, German, and Swedish masters. Artists that revolutionized Western perspectives in our connection with Earth's creatures. This event will be going on through May 26th, but on Saturday, March 16th, Dr. Adam Duncan Harris of the National Museum of Wildlife Art in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, will be speaking. That's on this Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. You can go to thejamesmuseum.org and look under their events tab. We may have more information on that later this week. We're trying to pass that interview along to another public affairs host. And coming up April 6th, the Tampa Bay SPCA hosts their 33rd annual Pet Walk. The celebration will be taking place in two places, in Pinellas County, North Straub Park on Bayshore Drive in St. Pete, and Largo Central Park. I wanted to let you know that the SPCA provides food at their Pebbles Food Bank for free dog and cat food for families facing financial hardships. More information at spcatampabay.org.
There's trouble in Moose. I live in Moose, Wyoming, which is pretty much what it sounds like. Moose. I'm from Moose. You got a problem with that? Moose is tough. We've got these four dogs at home. And I've always liked dogs, but I've always had real dogs. And two of these are real, but two of them are these little fluffy white guys. They're very intelligent. They've got lots of character. And they're totally charming. But the bottom line is they're little fluffy white guys. They're a weird breed. They're called Chinese crested. And most of them are hairless and are truly grotesque. To my way of thinking, I'm sure they look great to each other. They give me the creeps. Little hairless dog with a poof of hair on the top of the head. Eesh. Mind you, this is how we look to chimpanzees. But we won't go there. Anyway, it's a weird breed. Some of them have hair. That's okay. If they got hair, they're called powder puffs. And if they're a little bit off-white, they're apricot. And if they're really, really little, they're teacups. We have two powder puff apricot teacups. And this is in a town called Moose. And I'm frankly uneasy about appearing in public with these creatures. I take them out walking in the evening on these retractable leashes, which I've come to think of as trolling for owls.
We just heard from Tom Rush with his segment called Little Dogs, and now we're listening to Mudhoney in the background, their track Little Dogs. I want to let you know that coming up next on WMNF at 12:06, Slice of Life will be on air. Randy Zimmerman will be speaking with Norman B. Norman B. hosts Life Elsewhere, and he's going to be talking about his not his book, talking with the author of a book on Bob Marley and the Wailers, The Ultimate Illustrated History. Please stick around. Stick around for Jim Bannon at 1 o'clock and stick around for Nancy C. at 3 o'clock with Chris bringing you the news. I'm going to leave you off with a little bit of something. I just can't resist playing this. For the first time in the 70-year history of the movie Godzilla, they won the movie Godzilla Minus One, won the Academy Award for Best Special Effects, if you can believe it. Since 1954, Godzilla's been around, and now they have an Oscar. So we're going to leave you with a little Blue Oyster Cult. You're tuned to 88.5 WMNF Tampa. You're tuned to Talking Animals on 88.5 WMNF Tampa. I'll be back next week interviewing a representative from Tampa Bay Beagle Rescue.